Hey there. You're listening to Record of Change with me, Pratap Nair, your host for this episode. Here at the podcast, we talk to people from around the world at different intervals to understand how the COVID-19 pandemic is shaping their lives. Today, we will hear from Alan Rocha from Bangalore, India. If you want to hear Alan's previous episode, please check season 3. In this episode, Alan talks about his close call with COVID, experiencing India's brutal second wave, and coexisting with the virus with the understanding that the pandemic will be an ongoing one for the foreseeable future. First of all, thank you so much for taking the time and coming again on the podcast to talk about your life and Bangalore and the pandemic.
Thank you.
Yeah, so what happened in the last 8 months? You have to give me your life update.
The only thing would have changed for me during this pandemic is I changed jobs in between the lockdown. After my first lockdown, I changed homes. Right before my second lockdown, I had my breakup. Between my second lockdown, I changed my jobs. So yeah, quite a lot happened.
Okay, let's unpack one by one. So you changed jobs. I've read so much about how India's economy is not doing so great and how the job market is kind of saturated. Were you looking for a job actively?
I wouldn't say the job market is saturated. Probably in certain pockets, probably for hospitality and certain aspects and industries which have been hit really hard. For example, my industry, even for IT, if I look at it at a broader aspect, I think there are a lot of job openings out there because my company, the previous company itself was hiring quite extensively. And even this job as well has been, this company as well where I'm working right now is also extensively hiring a lot of people. So yes, I don't think job openings or offerings are it's in shortage right now. There are a lot of companies looking in for talents. I think a lot of people are changing jobs in this time. Also, I think it's also considering the fact that they got frustrated working for a company and they got to know more of the frustration while they were doing work from home. Probably that's why. I don't know.
Okay, that's good to know. Earlier this year, when the so-called second wave happened in India, there were quite disturbing scenes. We could see that people had no oxygen supply. Hospitals were running out of ICU beds. Were you in Bangalore? What was the situation like?
Yeah, this time also during the second lockdown, I was in Bangalore. The thing was, I think the cases in Kerala, since I hail from Kerala, and I had gone home for Easter in the month of April's beginning. Cases are already on the rise in that particular state, and where I am staying and residing, which is Bangalore in Karnataka, the things were still under control. I think this time around, the second wave which hit all of us in India, this time it has affected a lot of people within our inner circle. Earlier, you just used to hear people getting affected, say, friend of a friend or colleagues, someone. That's how someone distant who got either infected or passed away due to it. But this time around, I think a lot of people have examples of those who have gone through the whole COVID infection or have lost someone in the process within our close circles. So that has been a huge impact. Yes, it was a really frightening 2 weeks where things really went out of hand. It was quite difficult at that point of time, where we really did not know where things were going, and there was no sign of any easing of cases happening as well. So yes, second wave, I would say, really did have an impact on everybody. I don't think anybody can say that, you know, we did not really feel the brunt of it. That wouldn't be the case at this time around. I think first wave, people had the notion that it really affects only the elderly people, and that was not the case in the second wave. And I think now everybody's woken up to the fact that the third wave will affect the kids more or less. So they're now gearing up for that, because I think now people have broken the notion that it just affects a certain sector of people.
Yeah. You said many people in your close circle were affected.
In my family, my grandma's brothers and one sister, both of them passed away because of COVID. My friend Shubham, his brother-in-law passed away as well.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was quite saddening as well, because he was actually recovering from it and all of a sudden he had a stroke. So yeah, had little scary moments. I think even a friend of mine from Hyderabad, actually he and his dad got infected around the same time, got admitted in the hospital together, and his dad passed away while he survived. And he says it was a very very scary situation, where you can see people just admitted to you on the next bed. One moment they are speaking to you and the next moment they are gone. So they are bagged. So that was really scary for him. So that's why I have a lot of people in and around my close circles. I've got to know a lot of such cases. So it's been quite scary in the second round of wave that has happened.
Yeah. And what is the scene with vaccination, Alan? Did you get vaccines?
Vaccination has been happening full-fledged. I mean, we had certain hiccups when they launched the 18 to 40 group, age group of vaccinations. But thankfully, I think from the month of June, it's kind of regularized. And I think by June mid, the government took it up that they will give out, the central government would streamline the whole process. So vaccinations are being going on. I've done with my first dose of vaccination. My second dose is due in a week's time. And now I think it's mostly the agenda of getting people to get vaccinated. There are still people who are apprehensive about taking the vaccination, because there are certain cases, one-off cases here and there, where people who are vaccinated still got infected, or people who are vaccinated got infected and did not make it. So such cases are still going around. So people are like, why should we go through the whole hassle of getting a vaccination? But yeah, I think that education of why you need that extra layer of protection, a vaccination is not really meant to stop the infection, but at least help you not get serious when you get infected. So that's, yeah, I think, the whole focus right now, because I don't think there's a shortage of vaccinations as of now. But yeah, it's fluctuating, I guess, in India, the daily vaccinations.
Is there anyone in your close circle who's an anti-vaxxer whom you have to talk into getting the vaccine?
So far, so my parents were initially reluctant. So I think in the month of April, both of them were due. They were most eligible to take the vaccinations much earlier, but they waited for month of April. So I just asked them, why are you guys waiting? So then I kind of pushed them. So they were a little reluctant, because they thought they might get sick of it. They might get sick once they take the vaccination and all that. But yeah, I think it's just the initial scare and push. And then they did go and take the first vaccination and then the second vaccination. So far, none of them from my immediate circle has shown any apprehensions or, you know, any problems in taking up the vaccinations yet. Most of them are pro-vaccine.
So now experts are predicting that there may be another wave in India as well as in other parts of the world also. And are there any precautions being taken in India?
You can still see people gathering up. Social distancing is not really something which is being followed that strictly. So yeah, people are more aware that there's a third wave going to come and hit us. But I think now people have gotten used to the whole, basically the up and down which happens during the COVID wave. I think Kerala has way more restrictions than Karnataka, because they are clocking in more cases than us, than the state of Karnataka. Karnataka, there's no, they are slowly opened up mostly everything. I think weekend and religious places of worship are still under restrictions, and there's a cap of people in public gatherings and all that. But most of the restrictions are lifted.
Interesting. I also see on your Instagram that you have been traveling.
Yeah, so I think in Karnataka per se, I think because I was in change of jobs, I thought, okay, let's take a small break and go. Surprisingly enough, we went during a weekday. And during the weekday, though we were all masked in a cab and we were going, there were a lot of people out there who came as tourists to those spots. We're not wearing masks because they were in the assumption that we are in the open space. We are in a hill station, clean air. So I don't think COVID comes here. I think that's the notion that people had. A lot of people were not wearing masks, but we did mask ourselves and not really venture out and mingle with anyone. But yeah, a lot of tourism has picked up. I think what at work, what we have read also is like there's a sense of revenge travel happening everywhere since people have been locked up. And since in India, now I think the internal tourism has picked up more than if anybody is not flying out. So I think as soon as we got back to Bangalore, that particular weekend in Chikmagalur is where we went for like a sort of a small getaway. But the locals actually stopped tourists from coming in because they didn't want the cases to rise in their district. So they were actually blocking out tourists from coming in because the main source of COVID cases to climb in that particular district was the tourism. So yeah, tourism is like a... we don't know really know is it a yes or a no, because some people survive on the tourists. Some of them do not want the cases in a lockdown kind of situation to happen because of the tourism. So it's the balance of the positive and negatives is quite a challenge these days, I guess.
Yeah. Is this your first time traveling after these lockdowns?
Yes, it is. So because I think the last travel was in the month of March when we didn't really travel. We just went a little outskirts of Bangalore to a farmhouse. That was the only thing that we all did as a group. But I think at that point of time, I could see a lot of people traveling to Goa of all places. And from whatever they were posting, I think things were in Goa were looking really as if there's nothing. COVID was not a situation there because of a lot of partying happening where I don't think there was any social distancing and no masks. And there were a lot of crowds in whatever pictures I could see in parties and all that. So I think the second wave which happened was quite imminent because of all these factors which has happened. I think now the thing is, now the festive season is going to start in India. It will start from this month. So yeah, so we'll have to wait and watch now how it's going to end.
Yeah.
But mostly celebrations will be happening at respective individual homes. So
will be muted.
Yeah. That's not something it can be stopped. Yeah, but at least these big gatherings can be avoided.
Hmm. So you had your Christmas last year at home, no?
Yeah. And then the Easter in month of April.
Also at home. You didn't go to church or anything?
No.
Okay.
We did. Actually for Easter, the Good Friday service, we didn't go to church.
Mm-hmm. So how do your parents feel about this whole thing of even going to a church could result in an infection?
So their Sunday masses are predominantly done at home, online streaming. It's just that these special occasions or these festive times, I think my parents get these urge to, that the fulfillment of the festivities is done only if they happen to visit a church. I think that sentiment runs with a lot of people. So I think that's what drove them to go to church, at least pay respects there. But yeah, still get some time for people to get used to that this is... But I think their attitude right now is that this is not going anywhere because it's like year two of COVID. So I think they are trying to find ways in which they have to coexist with the virus probably.
Yeah, I get it. Okay, so last year when we spoke, you told me about your relationship and you guys have opened it up and you're allowed to meet other people. Now you're telling me that you broke up?
Because we couldn't meet that often. I think that led to the other party to kind of go and find that closeness with someone else in proximity. So that led to the breakup. So yeah, I think I had to do a lot with COVID. I think the lockdown kept a 6-8 months distance apart from us. So that played a big role in us opening up our relationship, which was very early into our relationship. And I think then we couldn't meet each other that often because of the travel restrictions from state to state. Yeah. Oh, but something did interestingly happen for me. Once I had a date over and we spent the night. And the next day he went to his home. And I met my friends. That was supposedly Vishu and Ugadi, which is another festival here. And I met my friends. We cooked food and I went to another friend's home. So I met all my inner friend circle that particular day after my date. And in the evening, I get a call from my date saying that, are you okay? I was like, oh, yeah, I'm perfectly fine. Why do you ask? So he's like, I'm down with really high fever. And I just wanted to let you know that just be careful. So I was like, I was really shocked. I was not really worried about myself at that point of time. It's because I met all my friends and I met and one of my friends had their parents visiting the city as well. So I did go into quarantine and I informed all of them. But thankfully, wow. Though he tested positive, he was not keeping well for 5 days. And I think he got himself tested. I got myself tested during the 2 weeks of self-quarantine that I imposed on myself. But thankfully, I came out as I was negative. So I really did play with fire and I came out unscathed.
Close call.
When I initially got the news from this date of mine, the thing is, see, my job really entails me to go and visit a lot of clients. So the rate of exposure for me is really high. So I was in the assumption that probably it might have been that I was asymptomatic and I gave it to my date. It could have been the other way around too. So, but I got myself tested before he had gotten himself tested. So I came out negative in my first test. But I waited because I wanted to know whether his condition was COVID or something else altogether. But it happened to be COVID. But yeah, it was quite embarrassing.
So you had your whole walk of shame.
Definitely a walk of shame.
I mean, how do you foresee such situation? Now we're living through a pandemic. This is going to be a normal thing from now on. Are you insisting on your dates to get tested before you guys meet? Is it possible? How accessible is it to get a home test kit so you could do that before you meet new people?
No, I don't think the concept of the home test has picked up in India. Now, the only notion of people getting tested is either because of the travel restrictions where they have to travel to one state or the other, they get tested themselves. Or else if they show any symptoms and they feel like they need to get tested. Other than that, there is no rapid testing that is done within the community across India. I don't think so that happens.
How is Toby and did Penny, did she have a litter last time we spoke?
The lot has changed. Toby is now with my parents.
Okay.
So I think when my work picked up, Toby was kept, since I'm a single parent, I don't live with anyone and it's just me and him. And when my work picked up, I think he was at home alone for quite longer hours. I think that put him under a lot of stress and he was barking it out a lot. And since a lot of my neighbors are working from home, it was a lot of inconvenience for them. So I think I had to take a really bold step and decide to take Toby home, because then it was going out of hand. I couldn't take care of him while I was not there. And it's a lot of, I think he was going under a lot of stress as well. And Penny did get pregnant during that time. And I think since Penny is, though a home cat, I do let her out. And she roams and comes back. But I think since females, they get a little protective and really picky of places, and Toby's a little of a rough player with her. I think she didn't, one fine day she did not come back. So I'm not sure what really happened with her, because she's quite a friendly cat. I don't know if someone took, is taking care of her somewhere else, or I'm just going to go with that. I'm not going to digress into something bad. So yeah. And now I have someone else named Meenu. I basically fostered that cat from a common friend. So actually they're both based out of UK, and they were visiting India for quite some time, Bangalore specifically. So I think one fine day, one morning, I woke up and he had posted a picture on Instagram stating that we're looking for someone to adopt Meenu, the cat. So I just, at that point of time, since I woke up from sleep, I was like, oh, cool, I would so love to take care of it. But it happened so that they were leaving that next day and they dropped, you know, that evening. So that was a really quick adoption that I did. Impulse buying to the craze. I mean, I wouldn't say buying, but impulsiveness to the max, I guess.
Okay, so you're taking care of her, meaning they'll come back and take the cat from you.
No, this is like an adopted situation right now. So they said first, okay, you foster and you see if you can find some other family for him. If not, you can decide. So, but then, yeah, we both have really adjusted to each other. So now he's my new companion.
Cool. That was the fifth episode of the fifth season of Record of Change. If you enjoyed it, why not leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to our feed, as it makes it easier for others to find us. You can listen to all our past episodes by following us on your favorite podcast app. Consider following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our website is recordofchange.com. This podcast is implemented with and by members of the Bosch Alumni Network, a community that brings together former and current fellows, grantees, and staff members of the Robert Bosch Stiftung and its partners. Thank you for listening.